Thanks for listening to the Sandy Clef Podcast, brought to you by Argonaut Wine and Liquor. They have what you're looking for, whether it's wine, spirits, or craft beer. Argonaut has it. Argonaut delivers, too. Proudly serving Denver for over 50 years. Shop online at ArgonautLiquor.com.
I'm bored with the same old thing. I need something different and fun.
Argonaut has it.
I'm also looking for great selection, service, and low prices.
Argonaut has it.
Oh, some of my buddies are coming over this weekend. Query, I need to find Jack Daniels at an amazing price.
Argonaut has it. Argonaut has free parking, and they deliver. Mm.
Where are they located?
760 East Colfax Avenue, or shop online at ArgonautLiquor.com. Argonaut has been serving Denver proudly for 50 years. Remember, you want it. Argonaut has it.
Well, we greet you on this Tuesday morning, 17th day of January, 2017. Bright and brisk in the Mile High City. Sandy Clef with you on your home for the best coverage of the Broncos and the NFL, Denver Sports Station, Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan. Well, I notice my friends Mark Schlereth and Mike Evans are on the Tony Romo kick. And, of course, as we continue to talk about the makeup of this coaching staff and whether or not it is equipped to bring Denver back to where it was a year ago, a contending team and, in fact, last year a world championship team. But as they continue on the morning program to more or less advocate for Tony Romo, I'll do what I did a lot of on Sunday and a little bit yesterday and get your response. Listen, if you're willing to go down that path where Denver has a reasonable chance next year to pick up where it left off, not at the end of this year, obviously, but at the end of 2015 and on through Super Bowl 50 in February of 2016, then you go out and get Phillip Rivers. If you're looking for a quarterback and looking for a combination of circumstances in which acquiring Rivers might be a little more realistic than it would have appeared 6 months ago, a year ago at this time, he's a more durable quarterback than Romo has proven out to be over the years. They're roughly the same age. He knows Mike McCoy. He's worked with McCoy, and successfully so. The team hasn't been great, obviously, in the last 4 years. You can talk about some reasonable explanations for that. Some of the excuses offered, perhaps, are a little bit exaggerated and upon closer examination, not ones that serve to fully explain why the Chargers were in last place at the end of both last year and this year, and thus the firing of Mike McCoy. But you would be reuniting Phillip Rivers with Mike McCoy, and as a partnership, it was a successful one. Not so successful that the Chargers could continue on from where they were as a playoff team in McCoy's first year with Rivers in 2013. Obviously, they slipped and in some ways got gradually worse in the ensuing 3 years. But that partnership was pretty successful. From Rivers' standpoint, numbers that guys in their mid-30s playing on bad football teams, injured football teams, and certainly over the last 2 years, the Chargers had more than their fair share of injuries. But Rivers is not one of the guys who got hurt. And under those circumstances, the stats are pretty impressive. And he averaged almost two touchdown passes thrown for every interception thrown. That's not a great ratio. 32-16 is not ideal, but would you take 65.5% of your passes completed here in Denver? Yeah, I would. Would you take 4,400 yards on average over the last 4 years? Yeah, I would take that. Would you take a 2-to-1 touchdown to interception ratio next year from the Bronco quarterback? Yeah, I'd take that. And Phillip Rivers has put those numbers up with inferior football teams in San Diego for the past 4 years. So I'll put my vote out there for Rivers if you're going all out. And, you know, I don't want to get bogged down, although I think if we're going to have a serious conversation at some point, we have to get to the salary cap ramifications, either with respect to Romo or Rivers for now. I don't want to get bogged down in how realistic or unrealistic the cap numbers may be that apply to both. But with Rivers, it's, I think, a little bit less cumbersome than it would be with Romo. Now, what you'd have to give up to get Rivers, I would assume, might be even a little more than you'd have to give up to get Romo. If you want to throw in other complicating factors, I guess you can. Jason Garrett, the coach of the Cowboys, if I'm not mistaken, if I understood him correctly, came out yesterday, much as Bill O'Brien did down in Houston the other day. And Garrett said he's unwilling to commit to Dak Prescott as a starting quarterback for 2017. Jeff is giving me the nod of affirmation on the other side of the glass. O'Brien, I know this to be true, was extremely noncommittal, even almost dismissive of the idea that he would be willing to commit to Brock Osweiler as his quarterback for 2017. So, again, the Cowboys, much as Romo may want to play somewhere else, the Cowboys may have no desire whatsoever to trade Tony Romo. I don't know that the Chargers, now that they've moved to Los Angeles, where Rivers has said he wouldn't be quite as comfortable playing, would be willing to part with Rivers. But if you're talking about a quarterback other than Lynch or Simeon that you could conceivably bring in, who knows the division, knows at least the offensive coordinator, if not other members of the coaching staff, quite as well, I think Philip Rivers is your man. We'll talk about that. Dr. Rick Perea will join us here in this hour at the bottom of the hour at 10:30, and we'll talk about the National Football League playoffs, about how the Broncos are assembling their coaching staff, and about why the Packers and the Falcons and the Steelers and the Patriots are the only four teams left in the National Football League playoffs. Mike Tirico of NBC Sports in the 11 o'clock hour. Cecil Lammy, our fan Broncos insider from Tampa St. Pete, site of the East-West Shrine Game. We'll get Cecil's thoughts in the 11 o'clock hour as well. We'll get to your phone calls and your texts. Phone number and total beverage text line 303-713-1043.
On Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
Before we get to the phones, let's get a little bit of a reaction on the Total Beverage text line. Phone number and Total Beverage text line, by the way, once again, 303-713-1043. The 720, I agree 100%. If you're going to go big on a quarterback, you go with Rivers. If the Broncos go out on a cap limb to get a veteran quarterback, go out on a strong limb. Both Romo and Rivers would love a ring. Great big diamond and gem-studded ring. You know what Rivers is, and I agree with what Mark Schlereth said, and we've talked about it a lot here. He's the quarterback that people love to hate, although when he was going after Jay Cutler back in the day, he was the most popular quarterback in Denver at the time, much more popular than Cutler was, and since then, he has become less popular, in part because he's played very well, especially here in Denver. That's another thing. You have a long record to go on. Romo against the Broncos, a much shorter sample size. You know how good Rivers has been, especially in games played here in Denver against the Broncos over the years. In fact, he's been better against Denver here than he's been against the Broncos in San Diego. And of course, now the Chargers will be playing in a 27,000 seat soccer stadium in Carson, California. To the phones, Joe, you're on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan with Sandy Clef. Good morning.
Hi, Sandy.
Hi, Joe.
You know, setting aside my own personal biases against Philip Rivers, I think you've laid out some pretty good points as to why we maybe should have him. However, the one thing I am concerned about is, like, we saw the situation with Brock Osweiler, although he wasn't a first-round pick, but a second-round, you know, a high-round draft pick, that he kind of didn't want to play in the shadow of a legend. And not to say that Philip Rivers is...
I don't think that was it at all, by the way, with Osweiler.
Really?
No. And, that had nothing to do with it.
That's one of my concerns, as well as also just, you know, do we want to have a continuous revolving door at quarterback, too, is my other concern.
Well, okay, but I think Mike Evans, I don't agree with him on Romo, but I think he framed the issue correctly. If you think, and I'll ask you, what do you think? Are the Broncos a team prepared now as they assemble this new coaching staff? Are the Broncos a team, in your opinion, right now that can return realistically to the position of a championship contender in 2017? Yes or no?
Yes.
Okay. Then you want the best quarterback possible in a conference where in 13 of the last 14 years, only three quarterbacks have taken their teams to Super Bowls. Those three being Brady, Roethlisberger, and Manning. Don't you want a quarterback of that caliber if you believe that the Broncos are still a championship-contending team, even with all these changes? The changes they've made have sufficiently impressed you to the extent that you believe that Denver goes back to being what they were in 2015, a bona fide championship contender.
And that's absolutely correct. But at what point do we need to bring in Paxton, though? I mean, because, you know, obviously... Rivers,
at the point you don't think you're capable of winning in that particular year, and that you're in more of a rebuild, or to use Vance Joseph's term, a rebooting phase, that you're not a championship contender. That
right,
you're starting... Not from scratch necessarily, but you're going in a wholly different direction from the way AFC teams have generally gone. Successful AFC teams have gone to the Super Bowl and often succeeded once they got there with veteran quarterbacks. Even the one exception out of the last 14 years, Joe Flacco, was a proven playoff quarterback. Hadn't won a championship, hadn't been to a Super Bowl before, but they had won playoff games, at least one in every year up until 2012. So it wasn't a total fluke. Flacco was, what, a five-year veteran by then?
So,
I understand the way Mike is framing this when he's saying, listen, you put Paxton Lynch alongside a bona fide championship contending team, and you expect championship results? Really? Who are you kidding? And I agree with him on that. I'm not sure I agree that the Broncos, as presently constituted, are a ready-made championship contender, as they basically exist. And I know that this offseason just started, and I know there's the draft, and I know there's free agency, and there are improvements and tweaks that they can make, and a reordering of salary cap priorities and all of that. But I'm basing what I'm saying on what we know to be true right now. And if you believe that the Broncos can get back into the mix, if they really do belong still in the same company with the four teams still playing, then you got to have a quarterback of the caliber that those four teams throw out on the field each week. And that quarterback, to me, would more obviously be Philip Rivers as opposed to Tony Romo. Or Drew Brees, who's Mr. Saint and not going anywhere. He and Sean Payton are tied at the hip in New Orleans. And for those talking about Drew Brees, he'd be fine. He'd be terrific. he ain't going anywhere. So I want to keep this conversation somewhere in the realm of reality. Drew Brees is under a long-term contract. The Saints love him. He's very popular in the city of New Orleans. I guess if Sean Payton were to leave, which doesn't seem to be in the cards, then Brees might not be so enthusiastic about remaining himself. But right now, Payton and Brees, for better or for worse, are tied together in New Orleans with the Saints going forward. Back to the phones before we break and bring in Dr. Rick Perea. Jordan, you're on Sports Radio, 104.3 The Fan with Sandy Clef. Good morning.
Hey, Sandy, how's it going, man?
It's going well. How are you?
Phillip Rivers, I've been calling for him for 3 years now. This guy is a top elite quarterback. He's never had a defense like the Broncos have in his entire career, ever. You give him two all-pro wide receivers, Demaryius Thomas, Emmanuel Sanders, and hopefully a fixed, rebooted offensive line with Mike McCoy's power system. We could go far and deep into the playoffs. I just think he's a smart idea and a smart pickup if we can.
I agree. Well said. And we'll bring in Dr. Rick Perea in just a moment. Marcus Robertson, who was last year the special teams coordinator of the Oakland Raiders, is set to be interviewed by the Broncos for the defensive backfield coaching position, according to Mike Kliss, our 9 News Broncos insider. Jeff, do I have that? Right, Paul.
Broncos breaking news.
There we go. Well, we can't have all of the bells and whistles without more of a definitive announcement, can we? That Mike is reporting that, in fact, Robertson has been hired to succeed Joe Woods, who presumably will become now the Broncos defensive coordinator, as the defensive backfield coach, the Denver Broncos, coming from the Oakland Raiders, where he spent some time last year. So you're hiring the Charger head coach from last year. You're hiring Mike McCoy. In that respect, and of course, Bill Musgrave, the offensive coordinator of the Raiders, coming over here as quarterback's coach, and the defensive secondary coach of the Raiders moves over here as a Bronco defensive secondary coach now for 2017, according to Mike Kliss of 9 News. The good doctor makes a house call for us here in studio. Dr. Rick Perea, the preeminent performance-enhancing psychologist in America on Denver's sports station, your home for the best coverage of the Broncos and the NFL. Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan. Thanks for listening to the Sandy Clef podcast, brought to you by Argonaut Wine and Liquor. They have what you're looking for, whether it's wine, spirits, or craft beer. Argonaut has it. Argonaut delivers too. Proudly serving Denver for over 50 years. Shop online at argonautliquor.com.
I'm bored with the same old thing. I need something different and fun.
Argonaut has it.
I'm also looking for great selection, service, and low prices.
Argonaut has it.
Oh, some of my buddies are coming over this weekend. Query, I need to find Jack Daniels at an amazing price.
Argonaut has it. Argonaut has free parking, and they deliver.
Mm, where are they located?
760 East Colfax Avenue, or shop online at argonautliquor.com. Argonaut has been serving Denver proudly for 50 years. Remember, you want it. Argonaut has it.
Dr. Rick Perea in studio with us for the remainder of the hour. Mike Tirico from NBC Sports at 11 o'clock. We look forward to that. Cecil Lammy, our fan Broncos insider, during the 11 o'clock hour as well. Dr. Perea, good to see you. Once again, the preeminent organization and sport psychologist in America today. And DK2 Motivation and Performance is the outlet about achieving peak performance and optimum functioning. Let's start with that foundation.
Sure.
In explaining exactly what you do and why it has worked so successfully here in Denver with the Broncos in 2015. You spent a lot of time down in Miami this year with the Dolphins, who haven't been in the playoffs for quite a few years, and all of a sudden after a 1-4 start, they're in the playoffs in 2016.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for having me, Sandy. I'm what's called a performance psychologist, and at DK2 Motivation and Performance, we're a performance psychology organization. We have five different counselors that work there that also work with, you know, anybody who performs, CEOs, astronauts, surgeons, pro football players, adolescent athletes. We work with a lot of high school athletes in the area, helping them perform at peak levels, just getting the mental side. We took all the checkup from the neck up, Sandy, getting the mind right for success. Most people think that what we do is pathological, meaning if something's wrong, we fix it. We can do that, but mainly it's getting people in the right spot for success, preparing their brain for success with certain evidence and research-based practices and protocols. And we train people's brain through what's called neuroconditioning, where we train people's brain to be in the right spot with really cool games where people can fly airplanes just with their thoughts.
You know, you were listening coming in, and I take everything you say with a great deal of seriousness, and it is part of what we do, even those of us who know you well, that when we talk about football in particular and about changing a roster, changing a coaching staff, as the Broncos are in the process of doing right now, we tend to talk about personnel judgment, schemes and systems. We don't talk about motivation. And when we do, we use phrases that puzzle listeners, and I understand why they get confused when we talk about Vance Joseph, for example, as a leader of men. And listeners quite frankly respond, what the heck does that mean exactly?
Right. Well, you know, one of the things I think most people don't realize is these athletes are what we call extrinsically or externally motivated. When you pay an athlete to play, they become externally motivated. So we have to be creative with our ways of helping them become motivated intrinsically or internally. And the way we do that is we have certain specific practices and protocols to teach them how to get their mind in the right spot. Sandy, the body doesn't just propel itself. I mean, if you think about motivated athletes, they have to have a motive. Motive is the root word of motivation. And if you don't have a motive, if you don't have something that burns the fire in your furnace that gets you out there and play with such intensity, you will not make it in the NFL. We have players throughout the league that are so talented, Sandy, physically from the neck down. They have everything it takes, speed, athleticism, quickness, strength, but they don't have that internal fire burning within them. And that's what happens when they come into the league. People say, what happened? They could play at a high level in the NFL, in college, but not in the NFL. What happens is now all of a sudden they get hit in the mouth and motivation comes into play. And if they're not intrinsically or internally motivated, they will not be able to make it. So what we do is help the athletes become intrinsically motivated, so it's not a factor in their deprivation in terms of their performance. They're lit up. They understand from the brain that I'm going to make a decision to go out there and play hard, but it's internal versus external motivation.
I go back as you're talking, and I remember how Dick Vermeil always used to say to his St. Louis Rams, champions in 1999, get the mind straight and the body will follow.
Absolutely.
Bill Belichick says much the same thing to his New England Patriots. That's what you're talking about.
Yeah, we have a sign right in our office, right off I-25 in Arapahoe. It says, as above is below. And what that means, if the mind's right, the body will follow. Sandy, I see too many players that play at 70, 75, 80% of their potential physically because they do not get their minds right. They do not practice.
It's not because they're not trying hard enough or they're not well enough conditions. It's that their minds aren't exactly right. That's why they fall short of reaching their full potential.
Absolutely. They don't know how to focus at a peak level. They don't know how to filter out what we call irrelevant cues. I mean, there's quarterbacks. Here's the difference between Dak Prescott and most other rookies. Dak Prescott can stand in the pocket in the heat of the moment and filter out what we call irrelevant cues. Pressure coming from the outside, pressure coming from the inside. He focuses on what we call relevant cues, and those are two cues that keep him locked in, which is focusing on process instead of outcome. The difference between a player being able to play in the NFL and in college is being able to filter out irrelevant cues. And you have to be taught that, Sandy. It's not something that's natural. So we teach these protocols to athletes, get them in the right spot. I can tell you this for a fact. when I started working with certain specific NFL quarterbacks, they were unable to filter out irrelevant cues. And what all we did is teach them, okay, focus on these two relevant cues, and it automatically filters out what's irrelevant. And when they do that, they're locked in, they're focused, and they can definitely play at peak levels because they're focused on what's relevant and filtered out what's irrelevant.
You know, the four quarterbacks remaining in the playoffs, Brady, Roethlisberger, Matt Ryan, Aaron Rodgers, when you watch those four guys, is that what ties them all together and explains why, certainly with Ryan and with Rodgers, they can sometimes even raise their game from the regular season and play better in the playoffs? Brady and Big Ben play well at the right times in the playoffs when it's needed, although their overall playoff numbers aren't at all remarkable and aren't close to being what they are during the regular season. But what makes those four guys function so well under the most stressful circumstances imaginable?
Here it is, as clear as I can say it. So it's going to sound like we're going back to anatomy class. We have what's called an autonomic nervous system. On the sympathetic side, that's increased heart rate, increased respiration, muscle tension. On the parasympathetic side, decreased heart rate, decreased respiration, decreased muscle tension. When you play the quarterback position, you want to be in a very relaxed state. Heart rate slow, breathing slow, respiration slow, muscle tension very, very low. It's like you're out in the backyard playing, Sandy. The quarterbacks that can relax and get on that parasympathetic side of the nervous system, and the way you get there is through diaphragmatic breathing, through different techniques we teach them to live on that parasympathetic side, because that's where performance goes through the ceiling. The quarterbacks that play on the sympathetic side, increased heart rate, increased respiration, muscle tension, they'll never reach their peak potential because they are tense. They're locked up in a level that physiologically they will never reach their peak performance.
We'll talk about the Broncos situation and the coaching staff shakeup, the retirement of Gary Kubiak, the hiring of Vance Joseph, with whom you worked a little bit this year down in Miami and know well on a variety of levels. Dr. Rick Perea in studio until 11 o'clock on your home for the best coverage of the Broncos and the NFL, Denver Sports Station, Sports Radio, 104.3 The Fan. Dr. Rick Perea in studio with us, and I want to ask you about something. We're just chatting during the break. I thought Joe Ellis, the Bronco president and CEO, made the most honest comment I've heard from any Bronco in at least a year when he said on our airwaves following the press conference, during which time Vance Joseph introduced himself and was introduced as the new head coach of the Broncos, taking note of the fact that by the end of next year, the Broncos will have had three head coaches in 4 years and five head coaches in the last 10 years, saying, why do we keep coming back here? What do we have to do differently? What could we have done differently to persuade Gary Kubiak to stay a little longer? I'm not sure they could have done anything differently, but for a franchise that has been generally as successful as the Broncos have been, this is an island of instability that isn't just a matter of opinion. It's a matter of fact.
Yeah, that's a very good point, and that's a very astute question for Joe to ask, because
it's the right question for Joe to be asking at the top of the organization.
Absolutely, because basically you're talking about you're switching head coaches every 2 years. When you go 5 for 10,
yeah,
you're switching a coach every 2 years. Organizationally, you've got to ask yourself why that is, why there's such a turnover, why is there such a change in the guard? Because I'll tell you this, as players like continuity. Players like to play within certain systems. You know, if you look at some organizations like the Steelers, who've had, I think, three coaches in the last
48 years.
I mean, you know, you look at the stability and the continuity of that. That's a great model. Now, it's not saying that is the model, but that is a good model for stability.
But so you've got McCarthy in Green Bay for a decade, basically. Right. Tomlin, basically, the same amount of time. Now, Quinn's just starting in Atlanta. That's understood. Belichick, of course, what's it been, 17 years, I think, now, in New England. They're not changing. The Steelers are the great example.
Sure.
Noel, Cowher, and now Tomlin going back almost 50 years, almost half a century.
Well, I think the notion we want a coach who goes out kicking and screaming is a great organizational one, but we also, on the other side of the coin, we got to make sure we provide stability and motivation and encouragement for that coach to want to be around and stay as well. So I think there's a double-edged sword there, and I think Joe's asking the right question, a very astute question, to keep that stability in the organization. And hopefully with their latest hire with Vance, they can bring some stability to that longevity in the job.
What do you think of Vance?
I love him. Love Vance. He's a very good guy in terms of interpersonal relationships. You know, he was our defensive coordinator this past year in Miami. And what I loved about him is his ability to connect with athletes one-on-one, interpersonally, with a group, working with linebackers, working with D-line, you know, talking to me one-on-one in our conversation. He, you know, when you talk to Vance, you feel like he's present. He's where his feet are. He's there. Sometimes coaches look right through you. They look right past you. But he's a guy that's present, got very good interpersonal communication skills. He's got some blind spots. You know, let's be honest. You know, he's speaking in front of the media and speaking in front of a large audience.
Yeah, he was shaky last week in front of the media. Looked nervous. But then he starts talking to players, and you see a different guy.
Absolutely.
And he talks to Alfred and CJ on the air, and he's expansive.
Yes.
He is specific. He is detailed-oriented. He is as articulate as any coach could possibly be.
Right. And when he gets in that comfort zone of being around those football players, being around other coaches, he is very, very much a commanding voice, a leader of an organization. So I look forward to that. I think Vance is going to be a great selection for the Broncos.
Do you think as they assemble this coaching staff, it's very interesting, you bring back McCoy as offensive coordinator, you get Musgrave, the former Raider offensive coordinator, as your quarterback's coach, and defensively, though you lose Wade Phillips, you promote Joe Woods, and you know Joe very well from your time with the Broncos last year, and you've spoken highly of him, and you keep, apparently, Kolar and Reggie Herring on the defensive staff, two guys you know from having worked with them last year. Tell me about Woods, tell me about Kolar, tell me about Herring, and why the mix of youth and veteran, long-time experience might be a good mix, or maybe not such a good mix for the Broncos at this point.
Yeah, well,
the coaching staff.
Yeah, I think Kolar and Herring are two older coaches who've been around the league who have a command over their guys. They're very good communicators with their guys. They're very good teachers of technique, footwork, kind of that process orientation. What I love about Woods is, you know, he always has a pencil behind his ear. And you know why, Sandy? Because he's always taking notes. During practice, he makes notations of what he sees, what he observes, very detail-oriented. I love that about him. You know, he's not necessarily a rah-rah, Pied Piper kind of guy, but very detailed-oriented, very instrumental in helping teaching the game to players. Not enough NFL coaches teach the game to players, teach technique, teach footwork. A lot of coaches will say, well, they should already know that. But a lot of players come into the league not knowing that. So being able to teach that is a good part of, I think, what Woods is going to bring. That's the pedagogical aspect of being a great DC, and I think he'll bring that.
You know, the locker room that you knew from Denver last year was a terrific room.
Absolutely.
Particularly on the defensive side of the ball. You could feel the energy and the spirit, and you were around them in the playoffs, and they somehow found a higher level in the playoffs, as you've often described on this program with me. Something happened, and I know you weren't inside the room this year, but something happened this year to turn what was a pretty good and very spirited room into a room in which the spirit sometimes led to confrontation and division.
Yeah, I think the major thing, Sandy, with me not being there, but from an outsider and from someone who does work with NFL players and teams throughout the league, we have two types of cohesion. You have task and social. Task means people are doing their job. The minute that somebody does not do a job, and let's go to the offensive side of the ball, and let's say somebody was not doing their job, therefore they're not executing, then you lose that social cohesion, the cohesion where you love to play with each other, you develop a brotherhood. So task and social cohesion go hand in hand. And somewhere along the line, they lost some of that task cohesion. Some of the people weren't doing their job, not necessarily on the defensive side, but perhaps on the offensive side. And that could have been the start of that division there where maybe somebody says, hey, take care of your job, do your job. And then that started that little kind of little flame. But if you don't have task cohesion, it's hard to reach the social cohesion because the top-performing football teams in the world, Sandy, have social cohesion. It's something we developed in Miami through about halfway through the season and able to get players to believe in each other, love playing with each other, playing together, love playing for a coaching
offense,
staff.
Offense, defense, special teams
absolutely
together.
And there's a cohesion that's undeniable. So that's where I would anticipate some of that gap came between task and social cohesion.
what do you do? Sean Salisbury had a great line. He said, you manage things, you lead people.
Yes.
You don't manage people and lead things.
Yes.
It's leading people and managing things. When it comes to the strongest personalities on both offense and defense on this team, people like Tlaib and Ward and Vaughn Miller, Derek Wolfe, I think, at this point qualifies. Emmanuel Sanders, certainly on the offensive side. Elsewhere on offense, they seem relatively leaderless at this particular point. How do you tie all of that in together? Do you do it by staying away, or do you do it by getting continually engaged with those individuals?
You develop connections, Sandy. Let me give you an example. Great coaches connect with players and meet the players where they're at, not where the coach is at. Some coaches think, hey, I'm the leader here. You meet me where I'm at. Great leaders understand the followers to drink their Kool-Aid. Because here's the key, Sandy. You're not a great leader if the follower's not drinking your Kool-Aid. And the way to help followers follow the leader is meet those players where they're at. Meet them where they're at. I think that's one of the great things that AG does in Miami. AG's Adam Gase. AG talks to players individually at practice. He looks them in the eye. He meets them where they're at. One of the things I do with players, I meet them where they're at. I talk their vernacular. I talk their voice systems. I'm able to connect with them from a cultural perspective. But we've got to understand the greatest coaches in the world meet the followers where they're at, because if a follower doesn't drink the leader's Kool-Aid, that leadership falls on deaf ears.
And it applies to the coaches, too.
Absolutely.
But I do it before I let you go. Not to imply the coaches weren't divided, because I think there was some evidence that maybe even the coaches were divided and somewhat resentful, defense toward offense, much as the players were. And we got a question here about Musgrave and McCoy working together. One a head coach last year, the other an offensive coordinator.
Yes.
Now one's the coordinator and one's the quarterback's coach. Both stepping down a bit, technically speaking. Can they work together, or will the egos clash?
No, I think they definitely can work together, especially if they get together and help each other understand, here's your role, accept your role, adhere to your role, then we can reach that task and social cohesion. Task cohesion means you do your job, this is what I'm going to do, I'm going to game plan run, you're going to game plan pass, we're going to do this together. Whatever it is, accept your role 100%, Sandy, have both feet in, then you have a chance to reach that task and social cohesion. They do that, they'll take off and reach the potential for both of their competencies and acumen so they can reach their peak potential for what Elway hired them to do.
Always a blessing for us when you're here in studio. We thank you.
Thank you,
as
Sandy.
Always.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Dr. Rick Perea, the great performance psychologist, and of course, we've mentioned some of the professional teams he's been connected with. Alabama didn't win this year, but they were in the championship game, and he's worked with many other college programs with great success, as well as professional football. And here in town with the Nuggets, who are starting to, with your arrival here, re-arrival in town after your football season is done and your connection with the Nuggets, they seem to be going well right now, and we're excited more than we have been in years about the start of the Rockies season, and you're doing some good work over there with the Rockies as well. Dr. Rick Perea in studio. Mike Tirico of NBC Sports will join us next.